All right, Dr. Pinniger's in the studio now. We recorded this 2 days ago, which is oddly enough is right now, and I'm talking as if I'm in the future, which 8 seconds ago, them listening, I was in the future, but now I'm in the past talking. Did that all make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. I'm feeling somewhat like Back to the Future right now.
It's something close to that,
yeah,
but in hockey podcast form.
Right.
Which I think if you listen hard enough to this, you'll know what happened in the past.
And you'll feel like you're moving at 88 miles an hour.
Exactly. Ooh, there you go.
Right?
There you go.
Boom.
All right, so we got a couple of things to jump into. First of all, Golden Knights have two players injured, and again, due to us being in the future and in the past, hopefully no one gets injured in the next two games, and then we have whatever. But if there are, then I'll talk about that on the other side of when I put this insert in. So if there are, I will text you and we'll have information on those. But in the world in which it's only the two Codys, the latest update is Glass is skating, appears to be fairly close. I would hope that he's probably back maybe this weekend. Wouldn't shock me if they wait a little bit longer because they got to kind of find a spot to get him back in the roster. And then there's the bigger one, and that's Eakin. Eakin's injury, originally a lot of us thought it was a concussion. The more that we heard what the Golden Knights were saying, the more that we did not think it was a concussion. And there's just certain words they use or don't use that lead us to believe concussion or not. Our belief is it's not. Recently, Foley on Blessings podcast said, quote, "It's a pretty nasty injury and he'll be out for a while." So we had you look into it earlier last week. And you gave us three kind of options of what you thought it could be. Now that you know, we're pushing 2 months, maybe even a little bit longer, what do you think's the most likely thing that one is?
Between those, the three we talked about, the AC joint, the collarbone, the rib, it's sure sounding more like one of those broke. Because, because it just, it doesn't fit that he had a bruise or that he had a smaller injury, especially if you hear the word, quote, nasty. Yeah. I mean, you immediately think, oh, gosh, that x-ray's got to be...
There's bones everywhere.
Right? They're splintered. They're everything. And so it really leaves you to think, okay, did he break his collarbone? Did he... Even a rib fracture, you'd think he just wouldn't be out that long. And I've never heard of, other than horribly severe rib injuries being called nasty.
Right.
I mean, a rib, it's your chest, and when they crack, they usually stay close to where they came from.
Right, and then you put them back, and it's not too bad. From what I remember, I feel like football players, they have rib injuries all the time, and they play 2 weeks later, if that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as long as it doesn't puncture your lung, which freaks me out when I hear that. But
yep.
So say it's a collarbone.
Yeah.
Because, again, we love playing this game.
We love the speculation. We're analyzing photographs of people's...
Say it's a broken collarbone.
Yes.
What are we looking at?
So a broken collarbone, I mean, the thing we still don't know is, could he have had surgery in the meantime here, you know? Did he have something done or performed to get him where he's at? That's another huge hang-up, and we just have no idea. But collarbone can be treated with or without surgery, again, depending on where did this bone go, and assuming that it's nasty, you'd assume it was gross looking. And if you plate a collarbone, if you put plate screws, put a collarbone back together, you're waiting for the bone to heal. And, you know, we've seen in football, Drew Brees come back after Aaron Rodgers, he had a non-operative one and then he had a operative one.
Okay.
And each time it's less than 2 months. So still seems...
So
still,
even that, it seems
even
little...
then, he got back pretty quick. Now,
this happened on 11/29.
Yeah. So we're one month
deep. We're looking at a month. And then, so I guess if you're saying around 2 months, it's not crazy to say that that's what it could be.
Yeah. It
and
really
again,
makes me wonder.
The word nasty is interesting because it's bruises aren't nasty. I guess they're nasty looking.
They can be. Yep, they can look bad.
But they're not nasty. So, like, you think when you heard that, it means something probably broke.
That's the path it takes my mind on. nasty makes you think something was in bad shape and we had to fix something. I look at it like that. But
so if it were that, what is the recovery look like once he's back? Is that one that's fully healthy? Is that one that you don't have to worry about?
No, you pat it. You still brace it. You still try to, you wait till that player is ready to take a hard hit and give a hard hit.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, we see in contact sports that can be 8 to 10 weeks. And then you proceed with that first hit, and everyone that's a part of the treatment is looking at it like, please stay together.
Oh, boy.
But,
yeah.
But it should, you know, by definition that should be healthy enough to go.
So I don't like playing this game too much, can you see, like, obviously we don't expect this to be anything close to season ending. We don't expect this to be anything in that scenario. However, there is a fairly large benefit in regards to trading this particular player if he were going to be out for the rest of the season. It does not appear that's the case. I think they would have actually said something of that sort. If I'm not mistaken, that question was actually asked and laughed at some point.
Hmm.
Anything in there that you look at and say, maybe that's a season ender?
Nothing. I mean, the video, like we dissected the video back and forth, so no. I don't have anything to think it's season ender. First, you know, when he falls to the ice, he first reaches for his head, and then he holds his arm a little awkwardly, and then, you know, then he kind of cradles himself as he runs off. So you're like, okay, was that a concussion? Was that a shoulder? Was that a rib? It just, you know, the video analysis just takes you through every possibility.
Yeah.
But never at any point, A, based on how he moved or acted, I didn't think we'd be this deep into it already.
Right.
Thought we'd be mostly returning or going through a concussion protocol, which that's negatory.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. But. And otherwise, now we're this far in, so still tough. We're still waiting on that video. Somebody catch him at the spa.
Yeah, we'll see.
See if there's a new scar.
He's on dad's trip. Yeah, right. We need one of those scar pictures, or so we need him to go in the pods with all the players again at the link. That was helpful with Tuck and Schmidt earlier. So the other one, and obviously concussions aren't exactly your line of work, but concussions are kind of, they've become almost like the boogeyman in sports, where it's like anytime anybody gets a concussion, we're immediately all screaming for that guy to be thrown out of the league, the guy who did it. We're immediately, everyone's thinking of like, is the player going to kill himself now? Like, we all go down this crazy path that sucks and it's annoying. And then hopefully that gets better with time as we learn more and more about it. But the other thing is, concussions are so tricky in that you can be close and then you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks at the moment like Cody Glass is close.
Getting close. Yeah.
But at any moment, there could be a hard workout or they put him through some strenuous activity and all of a sudden, nope, he's not okay.
Yeah.
I guess my main question to you is, when you look at where we are today in concussion protocol and concussion spotters and all of this, and you look at it from a medical background, do you think we do enough? Or do you still think we're short?
You know, I think that the pendulum has totally swung, because we started out with every player lying and people literally reporting seeing stars, but afraid to tell coach and feeling like, oh, my whole arm's numb, but I'll just use my other arm.
Right.
Yeah, and so you've gone the total end of the spectrum where now we're like, okay, pull him.
Out.
And you're out. And now it's an independent evaluation by a physician not involved in your team at all. And I think it's absolutely the safe place to go, because we're basing some of the treatment now on, oh my gosh, look what happened to these guys that we didn't do anything for. This is costing leagues and
we're
teams
talking 20 years
millions
ago, 30
of dollars. Yeah. And now you're right, these guys have got depression, they're anxious, they have all these phobias, and they're, you know, suicidal.
And yet still the league is saying not connected.
Yeah, some
NFL has already paid up, but the NHL's official stance, and this is ridiculous, and I know that, the NHL's official stance is that CTE and concussions are not linked.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's
ridiculous, right?
It's not where it'll end, but everybody wants proof, you know, especially when you're talking about millions of dollars of repercussions if you prove that you were wrong all that time.
And then
so it's all a prove it before I'll pay it kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And, you know, we'll get there. There's so much literature and so much research to say that, hey, you know, if you have a concussion, you have to rest your brain.
Right.
And that's why, you know, and resting your brain for some of these people that get concussions, like, they won't even let them read a book or play a video game. Like, you have to be a vegetable and just let your brain chill out long enough.
Real good at that.
You could do it?
Yeah, I'd be real good at that. Like, I just
nap all day.
Just lay in there. Petting the dog.
Yeah, nope, that's too much stimulation.
Oh, man, I can't.
No petting.
Well, I'm out.
Absolutely.
If I can't pet Wiglaf, I'm out. But the thing that to me, like, obviously, as a Golden Knights fan and covering the Golden Knights and having known Cody Glass for as long as we have, I was there the day he got drafted.
Mm.
He's a very nice kid. He's
come out and had a great.
He's your classic hockey player. He's just a nice kid. He's very humble. It sucks to see that happen.
Yeah.
And know that the repercussions of that and the long-term effects on that are bad, and all that happens is a $2,000 fine. When you heard that, what's your thought? I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to go too crazy on intent, but that's a flying elbow to the back of the head.
Yeah, no. When, you know, and you predict the situation that when you come in to give somebody a hit, and if they kind of dodge it, you're going to try to make yourself wider to try to still make the hit. So you don't
miss and look like an idiot.
Exactly. You sure can't blame him for trying to still make contact. But it is a flying elbow. You're totally right. I mean, in $2,000, that's chump change for these guys. So I thought that was pretty silly. But, you know, you can take that on a horrible spectrum and, you know, we joked about it on Twitter just to say, like, oh gosh, I mean, make him pay for this, make him pay for that, and you know, I mean, we're not out to try to say that everything in life should be compensated for by somebody else. You're heading
down a slippery slope. Nobody likes the slippery slope game. When you looked at it, do you see anything other than a concussion? Like, obviously, we're pretty sure. We actually know he went through concussion protocol. We're pretty sure that's what it was. It's an elbow pretty much right behind the ear.
Right.
There's really not much that can...
Not like our other Cody, where we're dealing with like contact through the torso and chest and head at the same time. This was, like you said, elbow, head, contact. Yeah. Like, barring something strange, the helmet didn't quite protect him. He injured his skull. Like, there's not much else.
It looks a lot like when you watch UFC has it more than boxing, but a guy will catch a knee behind the ear or a punch behind the ear, and they're out of it.
Oh yeah, and they're on the ground. They're in like this awkward posture, and you're like, he is done.
There's just the equilibrium's gone. And you're like, that's not going to be good. And then the interesting thing is the way the UFC does it, and it's a lot different than really any other sport. Is they have suspensions that are levied to the player or fighter who's injured. So it's like, you've had this happen, you're not allowed to train for this long, and you're not allowed to compete for this long. And so in that case, like, having watched a lot of UFC, I can pretty much guarantee you they would have told Eakin or Glass, you're out for 3 months. Like, there will be no training for 3 months, and you're probably not fighting for six after that.
It's an aggressive,
we don't really have that. Like, that happened. That happened on 12-8. So about a week and a half after the Eakin injury. So 12-8, we're talking about 20 days, not even. And he's pretty much back already. Now, granted, we believe it's the first one he's had. I haven't had a chance to chat with him yet.
See if there's one from before. That always makes you a little more hesitant.
That's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, the thing with concussions is I feel like there's too much control from the player. And in the regular season, it's super easy, especially a player like him. He's a 20-year-old kid. He gets hit in the head. He's gone. Forget about it. It's easy. If that's a playoff game, if that's a game to important game late in the season, in this case, he probably doesn't come back. But I feel like we're still at the point, and I was watching a football game today, dude gets lit up in the head. They put him in the blue tent. They go to the two-minute warning. They come out of the two-minute warning, and the guy's back on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute here. Do you think we're still too quick in putting it back in the players' hands.
You know, the players can fake it. So I think that I think that there's not much of a better way to try to do it. You can put them behind the tent. You can repeat some testing that they did preseason, which they might have faked anyway.
Correct, which sucks. Yeah, people have to stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And we'll get better tests. You know, everything is okay. We got level one, like they talk about the scat tests, where they had version one and then they had version two, and you're trying to make it better so that it's harder to cheat and right. So it's more representative of what's going on. And we'll get there, but like you said, I mean, hockey's got to catch up a little bit on some of their understandings of concussions, yep. and you've got to also make better tests, which it's a continuous process, and until we really lock it down, we'll continue to be frustrated.
You're a hockey fan. You watch quite a bit of Golden Knights hockey. If I were to tell you that I'm in favor of there being no head hits at all, you hit a guy in the head, you're out. Period. You cannot hit a guy in the head. Accidental, purposeful, doesn't matter. Do not hit a guy in the head.
And are you
do you think it would be a negative to the game?
No. I don't think it'd be a negative.
I would agree, yeah.
I mean, look at what they're doing with quarterbacks in football. I mean, geez,
you can argue it's been a negative in the game, though.
That's going pretty far, but I think it's going pretty far because you're talking about one single player.
Correct. Everybody's not protected the same way.
Yeah, you're given a preferential treatment to the guy that now you got, you know, players trying to make contact with, you know, everybody else, but if they make contact with the quarterback, they got to dance around rules but you know, I mean, in hockey, you hit the goalie, you're going to get the crap beat out of you. So you get it, you understand.
Yeah, there's certain preferential treatment there, yeah.
But it definitely, I mean, to make contact in the head, I mean, look what happens in UFC. You hit a shot to the groin.
Stop.
Back it up.
Yep.
You know, like it's just totally unacceptable.
Yep.
If that was the case in hockey, guys would adapt. They would make it work.
Yeah.
And you'd still see contact. They would not stop hitting each other.
No.
Which is one of the best things about the game.
Which is weird because, again, and I know everybody calls me a pussy about this, I don't need it.
You don't need the contact?
I don't need it.
What's wrong with you?
I really don't. Like, I don't mind there being, like, board battles are there. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't mind some of it when it happens naturally. I don't need puck thrown up the glass and now guy gets slammed into the boards. Mm-hmm. I don't need guy skates through the middle and the best way to stop him is just take his head off.
Yeah.
I don't need any of that. Like, and I understand that, like, you want to play the slippery slope game and how I want hockey to be, I hear you.
Yeah.
It would be no hitting. Like, it would start
None
to look
all.
Like soccer, and I get that, why that would not be ideal. But to me, that's better than – in this season, this team's been very lucky to this point. I mean, part of the reason we have you with us is because the last two seasons, it's like every 5 minutes, there's
Something's
another guy
going
hurt.
Down.
This year, it's been pretty good.
We've had good
luck. But for the most part, it's an infirmary looking at any team's list of injuries. Like, that's not good for anybody.
No.
Nobody wants to show up to the game and Sidney Crosby's not playing.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anybody any good. And now, granted, I get it. You'd probably have more scoring. It'd be a different game. You'd run certain types of players out of the league. I get that.
Yep.
And that's unintended consequence. But I'm not. And it's funny that you, the one who deal with the injuries, like the hitting, and I don't.
You wanna, I mean, I like the aggressive play. I like the challenge. I like the contact. I think that there's something to be said about your opponent has to be good, but also has to be ready to pay for it in a little bit of a way.
Yeah.
But cheap stuff, I really don't like cheap shots. I think that's like dirty players and headshots. I mean, you could do things to – it'd be hard. You know, it's like these NFL rules, you know.
Well, I just think
people
just
boo, like, okay.
Yeah, I just think they're soft on suspensions.
Yeah.
Like, a two-game suspension in the regular season means nothing.
No,
it
doesn't.
In fact,
it's
it
like
actually
fine.
Probably helps a lot of these guys because playing 82 hockey games over 6 months and then expecting to play your best 20 – in the final 2 months doesn't make sense. Like, we all know that, and basketball's getting there, and basketball it's a whole other issue with the load management thing that hockey hasn't, that can of worms hasn't opened. But if you were to take headshots, like, here's the first step I would take. So, like, let's take the glass hit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a purposeful headshot. So I wouldn't necessarily suspend him. But he's out of that game immediately. You're out. And
just like a targeting call.
Yeah, maybe you do it college football style. It happens in the second period. You're out for the first period of the next game.
A full 60 minutes.
Right. That's how college football does it. It happens in the second half. You miss the rest of the second half and the first half of the next game. Now, granted, that is challenging in hockey because we only have 18 players. And if you take one of them out, is the team even going to play that player? Probably not, to be honest. If you told me we don't have Cody Glass for one period, he's not going to play that game. I'm going to put somebody else in. We'll figure it out. So maybe that's not the best option. But what I would do is any purposeful headshot is immediate out of the game, guaranteed suspension of at least 5 games and upwards of 15, 20, 30, 40.
Yeah.
Repeat offender, you do it 2 or 3 times, just get out of here. Which, again, we're taking livelihood away from guys. I get that, but can't hit guys in the head. And then they all should be reviewable. Anytime there's head contact, go to the monitor and figure out what's going on. We need better rules. We need to go to the monitors. We need to actually get them right, and I cannot stand the argument of the games take too long.
Yeah.
It's my favorite 2.5 hours of every day is when hockey's on. Yep. If it's 2:45, that sounds awesome.
Why not, right?
So that's where I'm at on that. Yeah. Speaking of cheap shots or not cheap shots, Nick Holden is in the news here for his hit on Josh Levo. Levo is out for 2 to 3 months with a fractured kneecap.
Wait a minute. Fractured kneecap? Lower body injury?
Lower body, yeah. Good for the Canucks. We'll get to that topic next.
How on earth did they tell you what really happened?
Unbelievable. Crazy stuff that the guy's knee slams into the boards and we're like, yeah, his knee's fucked up. No shit, there, Sherlock.
Lower body.
When you watch the hit live, which you said you did, right?
Yeah.
Did you think it was illegal or horrible or a cheap shot?
Yeah, I thought it was cheap, you know. Guys kind of falling forward, leaning in, and there was a big shove right to the board. I mean, that's a no-no. That shouldn't happen. And you know, with your talk, I mean, maybe make that a 10-second reviewable issue and it's solved, right?
So had they called it the way that you saw it, which is purposeful, that's boarding with injury, that's an automatic 5-minute major, and he's out of the game.
Yeah.
If they called it the way you saw it. Now, I didn't see it that way. And again, they would have reviewed that.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the current rules, any major gets reviewed and they figure it out. They can lower it to a minor, which I think that's what happened. What would have happened? The way I see it is the players coming into the boards trying to challenge for the puck. Mm-hmm. The puck is right there.
Yep.
And when it gets there, Holden has to make the decision, what do I need to do to keep this thing in on the blue line? He puts his skate down to block the puck, and he says, I got to take the body of this player to get him out of the way so he doesn't take it and go the other way, and I'm caught out. So he has to hit him. I don't think he's trying to break his kneecap.
Oh,
I don't think he's trying to put him into the boards in an awkward position. I don't think there's any intent to injure. I think it's a 2-minute boarding call because I think that he does hit him into the boards with aggression. And there's no 10-minute misconduct. There's no kick him out of the game. None of that. That's how I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver fans obviously see it differently. Now that I know the result, I can understand seeing it differently. My biggest question to you is, if you have a fractured kneecap, he skated off. He walked along the bench. Like, how is that happening?
I wondered the same. I mean, so a fractured kneecap, of course, like any bone, it can break in two big giant pieces. It can break in a little fleck off of one corner. It can break.
What does fracture mean?
So fracture, break, broken, cracked.
They're all the same.
It means there is a defect in the bone.
Okay.
So somewhere the bone's got a hole in it or a line through it.
So I always thought fracture was like not broken all the way through.
Mm-hmm. So there's
a
green stick fracture, which we call like kids that fall and hit their arm and their arm bends but doesn't totally snap in half. So there's a lot of definitions of what a broken bone is. But in the end, a fracture means the bone has a compromised segment to it. In an adult, it almost always goes all the way through the bone.
Oof.
So, and that means that in a kneecap, for example, like when I watched that, as he came in, I mean, his kneecap made contact with the very base of the board.
Yeah.
That's a 90-degree angle. Yeah. And if you take a it's like a person that falls down on a stair right on the tip of the kneecap, you can snap your kneecap right in half, and your quad is so strong that it will pull your kneecap up into your thigh. And then that's, of course, a big problem, which if that had to stand up and put any weight on it is impossible. You'll fall straight down.
So didn't happen.
So it made me wonder, because he did. I mean, I saw that and I was like, oh, that can tear your quad tendon off of the bone. That can crack the kneecap in half. It can make a chip in the kneecap. But when people start talking 2 to 3 months, you're assuming that made a pretty good defect,
pretty good,
right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he skates off, smacks his stick into the board, and then took 2 steps.
And then,
on that second step, though, he looked like he went down. And that's what you'd expect. Like as he kind of slid, skated off, he could have been really standing on one leg.
You're talking about adrenaline, too.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. But that, I mean, to tear your quad tendon or to break your kneecap, if you lose your ability to straighten your leg, there's no walking happening.
Oof.
You are in for trouble.
How long until he does get back to walking?
So when I fix a kneecap fracture like that, you are walking immediately, but you're wearing a brace.
Okay.
The trick is the range of motion. You're not doing a lot of range of motion for weeks, because you got to let the bones start to grow back together before you permit range of motion. You're not doing a squat for month or two.
Wow.
You know, I'd say 2 months. And at that point, now you're going to have atrophy. Your leg's going to be skinny. You're going to look like a little sissy on that one side. And so then you got to build that back. So this is a recovery. I mean, 2-3 months is still on the fast side of things, I think.
Wow.
If it's truly a fracture, if he had surgery, then that's what I'd think about.
So that brings us to the topic of the dishonesty policy, where the Vancouver Canucks just outright said he fractured his kneecap.
Right?
Had that been the Golden Knights, it probably would have been considered lower body month to month. We normally get, and I will admit, as hard as I am on the Golden Knights, I think they're pretty accurate in when they call it day-to-day, week-to-week, or month-to-month. Now, it does change.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Halla's was initially day-to-day for about 3 days, and then it wasn't.
And then it became
I still look back on that and don't understand why he continued on when that trip. I still find that weird.
Why didn't send
it happened
back?
In game 2 of a 4-game trip.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew with them to the next 2 games.
Brought him, yeah.
Why? Wouldn't you just think you'd go back home and get the surgery?
Go back home, get the unless they got him an MRI right there on the trip.
Which they probably did.
They could have just got it right off
and
the bat.
And they know it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
bring him with you? You know he's not going to play.
Right, but then it always goes back to, like, then when the season ended, Eric Halla came out and stood by his locker and said, "I was right there. I'm right there. If we play another week, I'm probably playing."
Mm-hmm.
Could they have used those 2 days? I don't know.
To start things a little early.
I don't know.
A baby, like a little head
start.
That
one bothers me. But nonetheless, back to the dishonesty policy.
Why can't we know?
Exactly. why can't we know?
Yeah.
I think the main reason we can't know is fear of people attacking the injury. You follow injuries, you cover injuries, you watch injuries in every single sport. How often do you think it is that guys actually attack injuries?
There's always a hater, you know? There's always, on every comment section of any tweet you make, you know, there's a lot of support, and then there's a couple dweebs that have just got to give you
gotta be that guy.
And, you know, that's what makes it kind of fun. You got to let that roll off the back. But overall, I think that there would be people, you know, taking cheap shots on social media at players. And on top of that, they'd take cheap shots at their physicians or at their athletic trainers.
If it took too long.
Yeah. And so you'd end up opening up a lot to that. But a lot of teams do it.
I just wonder.
A lot of teams do it. With a lot of teams, you know which doctor operated on the guy. You know what exact procedure they did with the guy. And, you know, but in hockey we get...
Well, some hockey. That's the thing. That's what's weird,
right?
Is that some hockey we get exactly what it is, and other hockey we don't. And it's dependent on the team. And in this case, for the most part, we understand that it comes from George McPhee from the very top, that's just how he likes to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's his decision. That's fine. My thought is, like, I don't think when Josh Levo steps back on the ice, I don't think guys are going to be whacking him in the knee. I really don't. And I think if somebody does it, they're going to get punched in the face.
They are definitely getting punched in the face. Yeah. No, I mean, they're not coming back till they're 100% or close enough to 100% that you feel like if they take that cheap shot, they're going to make it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't put the guy back. Because you don't put a guy back when he's compromised, when he's frail, and when a shot is going to hurt him.
Unless it's the cup final.
Yeah, that's true.
But to your point, Josh Levo's probably not playing. The next time Josh Levo plays, he'll probably be as close to healthy as he's been.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was healthier before he had his kneecap cracked in half. But that's the main reason behind it.
Mm.
And I think it's ridiculous. And I think the problem is it does a disservice to your fans. And to make it worse, in this organization, it does a disservice to the head coach. Because in this organization, the head coach isn't allowed to actually say what happened. Yeah. He can only say day to day, week to week, month to month, upper or lower body. And in some cases, they don't even want to say that.
Yeah.
So then what ends up happening is then we end up going through all the videos and we start saying, well, it looks like maybe it's a collarbone's broken. And then you start guessing on time and all of this. Like, if you're just up front, as long as you're transparent the whole way, I feel like you're going to be in much better shape than what they're in.
Yeah, I think it does some good things for you. I think if you're up front, you open, you tell your fans want to be connected to your team. They want to be connected to your players. Some people don't care, but your devoted fans that are listening to your podcast, that are following, that are, you know, they've got the entire team on their own social media. Like they love the team, and if they knew what was going on, there'd be an outpouring of support, not so much a criticism. So I think that portion of it definitely creates a barrier, a rift between what could be an outpouring of a little bit of help.
So then my last question is, it often comes up in these discussions, and I don't fully understand it because I don't work in the medical profession, but what is, like, legally, what are the rules about when you operate on someone, how much information you're allowed to give or whatever? Because, like, for instance, we have the player, Josh Levo, cracked kneecap. Like, if that's me and I don't want anybody to know that I have a fractured kneecap, how does that work?
You have the right to say that you want nothing told. And so for me, like, if I take care of anybody you know.
Yeah.
And if you ask me a question about them, can't say.
You can't answer.
I'm not even supposed to let you know that I take care of them. That person can say, oh, yeah, he actually fixed my knee. And then if they're giving you permission, you have a conversation about it. If they have offered the opportunity. Otherwise, the policies of patient privacy are very strict. And, you know, so in our situation here talking about these injuries, if at any point I take care of one of these athletes, that player will be a no-no.
Right.
I will not be able to make a comment about it, and we'll just pretend it
didn't happen. Right.
Because I can't give an opinion about a guy I do know about without his consent and without making sure that I'm not going to be in trouble. So people criticize us for speculation, but it's all we got, because if we had true information, or if I went and talked to the Knights doc and said, hey, give me a little info, everybody's in trouble. We're all on the chopping block at that point.
Interesting.
So
that's
why,
kind of part of it that's interesting, in that maybe that's the way they're going. It's like, then again, we have other leagues in the NFL. We tell everything.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's part of being effectively a public figure, meaning that you're a professional athlete. And the reason that you are a public figure is because millions of people watch your games and cheer for your games. And that's why you make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's an interesting part of it all that I don't really know how to sort out or whatever, but to see it happening in certain portions of the league and not in certain other portions is frustrating.
Yeah. There eventually will be, you know, standardization, or there'll be a more of a accepted way to do it.
Yeah.
And it does come down to the players' associations have a lot to do with what they want disclosed. And that's going to be different across the different teams. And if you're in the NFL, you know that you've been hurt. We have signed contracts that this is acceptable to tell the public. So there it is. So that comes down to contracting and
so say it's in a contract.
Yeah.
Say you've got a player, not make it not even a player. Say for whatever reason there's a CEO of the Win or Palazzo or whatever, and it's in the contract written right there. In the event of injury, doctor may discuss all data or all pertinent information with the media. And it's there. Is that it? That clears the legalities?
You'd be able to argue that you could, but that, you know,
still would.
Any attorney could still fight it. Say, well, yeah, but this is a national law. This, you know, that was your contract with this local venue, and now, but there's a more broad national health information privacy act that says, sorry, you can't. There's always going to be ways to fight that, but that hasn't happened in those other sports.
In other sports, right?
Because the large governing rules for that are more national rules, but they're permitted in those circumstances with certain teams and certain leagues. So who knows? Who knows where it'll go in the end? But for now, it doesn't let us feel like we're a part of it. It feels like you get a little bit shut out, and whereas instead of being able to say, hey, shoot, you know, good luck with your surgery. And
right.
I wonder, are the players then wanting to put on their own pages like, hey, you know, I had surgery. Too bad I can't put a picture of that on my page, you know? Well, because some of them grow attached to their surgeon or their doctor, and they want to say, hey, I got the best doc. I want to tell you guys who I saw, and now they can't do that.
Peyton Krebs actually did that with his with the guy who repaired his Achilles.
Uh-huh.
So that and I think the part that I think is the worst part of all of it is there are situations specifically in hockey where guys are hurt, they don't say it, they play through it, and because they never miss a practice or a game, we don't know about it, and therefore then when the play declines, then it's like this guy's a bum all of a sudden.
Right. It was when we talked about that with the face-offs. Carlson wasn't taking face-offs, and we're like,
what a bum.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, he just stinks all of a sudden. And actually this season, oddly enough, he's been very good at face-offs, which is weird because he didn't take them all that time. And maybe he was hurting for the last 3 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the disappointing part. So, like, and I had people talking to me about it with Nate. The last game, which is now 2 games ago from when you're watching or listening to this, the Vancouver game in Vancouver, he was horrible. Maybe there's something wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the policy of not actually saying ends up throwing other people under the bus. And I think it's that unintended consequence. The intended consequence is good. We don't have to tell people because we want to make sure that we aren't rushing guys back. There's no criticism over what our doctors are doing or not doing. We don't want guys cheap-shotting our guys when they come back. We don't need anybody knowing when they're skating or what's going on or how close or if there's setbacks or whatever. But the unintended consequence is, A, you have a head coach that steps up to the podium every single day and can't actually be honest in a situation where every word he said is going to be critiqued.
Yeah.
And B,
and
you have players.
And what happened and analyze it. Yeah, but,
and then you have players who, if they're having a halfway decent season and then it goes down the shitter, we're just going to say, well, they're not that good when really maybe they were.
Mm.
Maybe they were injured. Maybe that was normal. Or like last year, there was the Pacioretty situation where he just wasn't as good as he is this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have to kind of believe that's probably injury related.
Yeah.
But we have nothing to go off of to prove that. So what ends up happening is now everyone has to say Pacioretty sucked for a year and now he's good again.
Yeah.
How that does the players any good, I don't know. So maybe I do need to go ask some guys. Just not about this particular team or anything, just in general, would you prefer that the media and the fans know about all your injuries or not?
It'd be interesting to hear how the team feels. You know, there may be camaraderie of the answers you get because they may be told what to say.
Well, and they sure are. And again, I'd have to make sure they're like, I'm not saying.
You're gonna de-identify who
Correct.
You're speaking
and,
with.
And I've
I
done
like
that
it.
Before. Yeah. I did a whole thing about their favorite restaurants.
I remember that. That was good.
And the whole restaurant thing, which is oddly enough, the reason I didn't do the restaurants, I had a couple of guys say, like,
can you not put my name in there? Because I go to like four different restaurants.
They don't want to get ridiculed with
exactly getting mad at me. So we did the whole thing. So the last thing we want to do is we had this idea on Twitter, and it's a great idea.
This is fantastic. I can't wait.
We want to throw out, we want to open the floor to give you the opportunity to lose your mind on something, however deep you want to go. We're calling the segment Salt and Vinegar.
Salt and Vinegar. I mean, getting salty, and you know,
what are you salty about this
week? In truth, I hate vinegar, to be truthful.
It is not great.
But, you know.
Even that black vinegar that they use in Asian cooking, it's too harsh for me.
No vinegar. I mean, no. Yeah. Why is there vinegar? But anyway, the thing that really just irks me is this. I get so excited when you've tied up your game, you've come, and now it is time to go to overtime, and 4 or 20 seconds into it, one single goal happens, and the place is deserted, and you're sitting, whether you're in your seat or whether you're on your couch, and you're like, that was it? Like, it is over?
Yeah.
Like, the first live game I went to that went to overtime, you know, you go get your there was a longer intermission at that point before overtime started. And so you go refill, you get your drink, you got your food, you're like, booyah, we're at overtime.
Let's go.
And it was no joke, less than 10 seconds, place clears out so fast. I was like, that's all I get? Like,
yeah. So you want more overtime. If it's tied, we need maybe silver goal. Soccer uses this where they run the 20 minutes, or in soccer it's 15 and 15. So they play 30 more minutes, and no matter how many goals are scored, we keep playing. Yeah. The problem with that leads to more ties.
Leads to more ties. And you know, people, like you said, I mean, this is your best 2.5 hours. You came to this game, it's at overtime. I want to enjoy a little bit of that overtime. Like, if that other stupid bad other team shows up and puts one in the net within 30 seconds, like, I'm not done yet, right? I'm unsatisfied, and I'm not happy.
That is a very salty take. I don't think I agree with it, but it's salty, and I like it. Oh, here's man. How I would fix overtime. Ready?
You better be careful what you say right now.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. As opposed to what they're currently doing, 3-on-3, which 3-on-3 used to be awesome. It's now shit. I hate it now. It's been completely coached, overcoached. It's all about keeping possession of the puck, and for whatever reason, the Golden Knights are still playing 2010, whatever overtime is, or whatever, whenever it was. And the goal, and everybody else is playing 2019 overtime, and that's why the Golden Knights keep losing in overtime. Nonetheless, I'm fixing it. Here's how you fix it.
See, you're mad about this too. I can tell.
I'm mad about the Golden Knights constantly losing in overtime. They're 2-6 when they go to overtime.
It is
not
bad,
acceptable.
And maybe that's why I'm so mad.
Here's how you fix it. So in the NFL, I hate penalty shots.
What?
No, and it is.
How do you hate?
They're the worst. They're so stupid. In the NFL, it used to be first team to score wins. They kick off, the team would come down, they kick a field goal, game over.
So if you won the coin toss you're going to win the game.
They've since fixed it. I didn't like that either. College football has the right idea. You give the ball to the team the ball at the 25. If they score, the other team gets the ball at the 25. They got to match it. And we play until somebody doesn't match it.
So you're telling me right now that you like penalty shots.
No.
That's exactly what you're saying.
No. We're doing something different. We're putting a team in a 5-on-4 power play. For 3 minutes.
Well, I mean, okay.
Score
you're
as many as you can inside of those
more
3 minutes. Okay. And then the other team goes. The team who goes second obviously has an advantage because they can pull their goalie. So they can actually make it 6-on-4 if they wanted to.
Do you have to make a rule that you can't pull the goalie?
Nope.
What happens if the other team?
Another goal for them.
So you're playing the whole 3 minutes, no matter what.
We're playing all 6 minutes. Unless the team decides to quit, which they won't.
That'd
so
be
we're
weird.
Playing all 6 minutes. Okay. So Team A goes first. So let's say it's the Golden Knights against Colorado, the game that the Golden Knights just played, which, again, we're speaking in the future to
which
the past.
Went really...
Which may... Well, bad.
Good.
Awesome.
Fine.
Game, terrible.
All right.
I loved it. I hated it. That's what happened. What a game. All I can say is what a hockey
game. What a game it was. Oh, that
was so good.
Woo!
It was so good.
I mean, I didn't see that coming.
So say that game would have gone to maybe it did go to overtime. Pick a completely different game. The next game goes to overtime. It's Golden Knights in Arizona. And the game goes to overtime. Mm-hmm. Golden Knights are at home. Vegas goes second. So Arizona goes first.
You get the advantage of going second.
They get a
3-minute
power
play.
Yeah, they get a 3-minute power play. They score as many goals as they want. Say they score one.
Why are you attached to 3 minutes?
Because a 2-minute is a little short and 4 is a little long.
There you go.
I don't know. You're a three-minute guy. I feel like you want a goal. In a two-minute power play, teams score around 25%. Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit lower. So you're talking about a 1 in 5 chance of a team scoring. If we do it both, we got a legitimate shot that nobody's going to score. Then we're going to shoot out. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a little bit more of a chance. In a 4-minute power play, now it's like a coin flip that somebody's going to score. Plus, you got tired legs. A lot going on there. I don't love it. So 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Arizona scores one. So now Vegas goes. They now have to make their decision. Do we pull the goalie early? Do we leave the goalie in there? How long do we go? What do we do here? Because if there's a shorty, it counts.
To the total. It doesn't end that
section.
It
would just be 2-0 now, and now you need two.
You just keep going.
So I think it's an interesting concept. It probably is never going to be adopted, as with all of my other stupid
concepts.
No
one's ever going to go for that. But
I've got a lot of dumb concepts.
But I don't disagree. It'd be...
It would be fun.
I would be happier than my current state.
It would guarantee you 6 minutes.
I would have to pick a new salt and vinegar.
That's right.
But
Next time you'll have a new salt and vinegar situation. But we'll figure that out. I'm planning, by the way, this summer... I'm planning every Wednesday to come up with a rule change that I want enacted in the NHL, and I'm going to try to come up with
every single
Wednesday for the entire
offseason. You already brainstorming?
I've got about 10.
You need 52?
And, like, some of them will be – no, because it'll only be the offseason. So hopefully that's, June to September.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be more like mid-April or May to September.
Oh,
so
man.
We've got a lot of them, but they could be little. They could be little, like – When you have a power play and the period starts, the draw should be in the offensive zone as opposed to in the defense or as in the center. That's a little one, but that needs to happen. But this is a big one. I've already released one of my biggest ones, and this is one we need to go to. Enough with the point system that we have in the NHL. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. You get half a win for losing in overtime. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Here's how you fix it.
That is kind of interesting.
3 points for a win. 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for a shootout win, 0 points for a shootout loss, -1 point for an overtime loss, -3 points for a regulation loss. So therefore, the playoff teams would have like 10 to 15 points, and there'd be teams with like -30.
They're going to have no self-esteem by the end of
this. That's exactly
what
we're going
for. You're going for depression. You're
going
to be passing out Prozac.
It works in golf. We show up and it's like, oh, this guy's plus 38. And you're like, yeah, that kind of sucks. But the biggest reason I say that is because right now, if you look at the standings, whatever team has 48 points or whatever, you have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
If one team is negative and the other team is positive, you know who's better.
And having a better record than the other team does not mean
you're necessarily better.
Yeah,
but I think
that's
so. That's where I'm going. Well, we'll make that a Wednesday segment. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Is there anything? Give them the details.
Give them the details. So if you've got your own sports injury that you're suffering with, check us out at Crivetti Orthopedics. My Twitter handle is VegasSportsDoc.com. Happy to entertain questions about. You know, your favorite player, be it a Golden Knights player, be it somebody else, feel free. Shoot over a question. Nothing like speculating
when we have
no idea what's going on. And otherwise, if it's the case of your own injury, come on down. Let's check you out. We can make a way better discussion of what's really wrong with real x-rays, real exams.
Yeah.
You know,
much easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you just give me couple of minutes here, we could analyze all these and really be good to go.
And
but
now we're gonna play the future game in the past, so right now listening, they know what happened in the next two games, but you and I are gonna pick them right now. The next game is tomorrow, which was actually a few days ago if you're listening to this, at the Sharks. Golden Knights win or lose?
3-1 Knights.
I'll say 4-2 Knights.
All right. So either way, plus two.
What is home that? Game the following night, Colorado. Win or lose.
It's going to overtime.
Ooh, that's where I was going.
Was it?
Yeah.
1-1, and we're going to win in overtime.
I'll say 4-4,
ooh,
and the Golden Knights win in overtime, 5-4. No, shootout.
You're going shootout.
Shootout. I hate shootouts.
I love there shootouts.
So now just make fun of us because I'm sure all four of those predictions were dog shit.